Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for meditation this morning comes from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Thus far, God's holy word. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, who is the good shepherd of his Father's flock, dear fellow redeemed. Leadership often defines the success or failure of an intended goal. Good leadership can stand tall in the face of danger and difficulty and snake victory from the jaws of defeat. But on the other hand, bad leadership can have every advantage and still find a way to throw it all away, oftentimes for the sake of their own glory or gain. Such was the case of a man named Gideon Pillow. Pillow was appointed as Major General during the American-Mexican War by his good friend, President James K. Polk. Pillow first showed his ineptitude when he had his men entrenched on the wrong side of the fortifications that the Americans had set up. Then at the Battle of Cerro Gordo, Pillow's actions were the failure of an overall American victory. But that didn't stop Pillow from telling tall tales about his heroic efforts in that battle. In the Civil War, Pillow was a Confederate general. After he had successfully pushed back an attack by General Grant, instead of pressing his advantage, he alone snuck out of the fort at night, leaving a subordinate general in charge, who inevitably would surrender unconditionally. At every turn, Pillow's motives were for himself and for himself only, and his very actions put the lives of his men in danger. This sort of leadership is not found only in the army, but is found across our society, and yes, even in the church. How many times are church leaders who are supposed to be shepherds of God's flock found to be serving their own interests and not the interests of the church or its people? This is a kind of failed leadership that Jesus is addressing in John 10. He calls out the church leaders for their failure to care for the sheep, and he sets himself up as the good shepherd in contrast to their failed leadership. This morning, let us consider how Jesus, the good shepherd, leads by love. When you think of the good shepherd, I'm sure most of you think of Psalm 23. In that psalm, David proclaims a psalm of praise to the Lord, who is his shepherd, the one who takes care of him and protects him when all else has failed. And Jesus, in John 10, identifies himself as that same shepherd. He is the one who leads his flock to green pastures, to still waters, who protects them with his rod and his staff. This is why he is called the Good Shepherd, because only he fulfills these needs of his flock perfectly. Now, in the Old Testament, God entrusted the shepherding of his flock to the priesthood. They were to teach the people, lead them in worship, and offer sacrifices for their sins while pointing them to the promised Messiah who would die once for all. Over the years of Israel's history, there were faithful priests and there were not so faithful priests. Eventually, God had to send a strong indictment of the priesthood in Hosea 4. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love, and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Yet let no one contend, and let none accuse. For with you is my contention, O priest. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The priesthood, along with many of the prophets, sought their own well-being instead of the spiritual well-being of the people. The people lacked knowledge of God and His grace because the ones who were supposed to teach them and warn them failed to do what the Lord had commanded them to do. This continued all the way down into Jesus' day. Though the people were dedicated to the worship of the true God, the Pharisees, the leaders of the church, pursued their own interests. Validation by self-righteousness, be praised by men, and things like that. They brought darkness over the eyes of the people because they did not teach as the Lord had commanded them. And what about today? Do we find the same disease among the shepherds of God's flock? Absolutely. If you take the time to look, you will find these so-called leaders who get entrapped in sexual immorality, embezzlement, looking the other way when scandals hit close to home, and so on. Now you might wonder, what's the big deal? They are just like everyone else, right? Well, yes, leaders of the church are sinners just like you and me, and they do bad things. Yet they are, as Jesus calls them, hired hands. They have a calling to preach the gospel in its truth and purity, to shepherd the flock of God as a good shepherd himself would, with love and care for their souls. It's not just relegated to pastors, but leadership in the church. Paul emphasizes the qualities that ought to be present among overseers and deacons in 1 Timothy. He says this, "The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to be to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Why is so much emphasis placed on the qualities of leaders in the church? It's because of what Jesus says. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. There are plenty of wolves that are hungry for the downfall of the church and the people within it. Satan will spring scandals and dissensions and so many other attacks to try and find a crack in the foundation. A failure to follow the good shepherd in leading his flock is opening the door to the pen for the wolf to devour as much as he wants. And who doesn't find themselves failing to live up to the standard that God expects? What else are we able to do but to humbly repent of our sins and ponder the comfort that comes from being in the flock led by the good shepherd? I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is different from every other leader in one important way. He always leads by love. How well do you know your family? Your father or mother? Your brothers, sisters? You might well know everything there is to know about them. And yet, your Savior knows you even more. His knowledge of you, His precious lamb, is as intimate as a relationship between Jesus and His Heavenly Father. Think about that. Your shepherd knows you as well as one person of the Godhead knows another person of the Godhead. He knows your internal struggles, your weaknesses, and your strengths. He knows your joys, your desires, your plans. There is nothing that is hidden from your good shepherd. But ultimately, He knows of your need to have a deliverer from the wolves of sin and the devil. The good shepherd doesn't just know of the weaknesses of your flesh just because He's God and He knows everything. Jesus endured the same temptations and trials that you go through. He was tempted to deviate from His Father's plan. He was tempted to not go to the cross. But He resisted every temptation. As your good shepherd, He did not flee and leave you to fend for yourself as other hired hands have done. Instead, He continued forward. Even though it would cost Him His life, Jesus laid down His life so that you could be safe and secure within the flock of God. He is your protection from the accuser, Satan. Your sins forgiven because His righteousness covers you. He is your protection from sin. He is your advocate with the Father who intercedes on your behalf to grant you forgiveness. And your weaknesses, your struggles, your failures, well, He is your answer for that too. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This is why Jesus is a good shepherd. As well as he knows you, he protects you. As much as he loves you, he provides for you. Now, do you really deserve all this goodness and mercy that Jesus offers to you as good shepherd? Well, no, and I don't either. But nonetheless, it belongs to you. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. The longer you ponder the promises from God concerning the benefits of the Good Shepherd, the more awesome it becomes that this was given to you completely free, without any payment required. No one could force Jesus to do anything that he did not want to do. All the events on Monday, Thursday evening through Good Friday, none of that happened without his willing. He alone had the authority to give up his life. He alone took the penalty for our sin. He alone had the authority to take up his life again from death. And he rose again to show that the payment process, and there is nothing left for you or me to pay. All that's left is to receive the life and salvation that comes from calling upon his name. Not only did Jesus' resurrection assure each of us that the Father accepted his payment for our sin, but it also means that we do not follow a dead shepherd, but we follow the good shepherd who lives forevermore. Jesus lives to be your good shepherd, even now. Through trial and tribulation, to joy and sorrow, the good shepherd continues to lead you, his flock, by love. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.